I'm just a human trying to get enough sleep at the end of the day.
That's Ihotu Ali, a human trying to get enough sleep. Heading into the holidays and into winter up here in the Twin Cities along with the rest of us. She's also a doula, a researcher, a writer, a graduate of Columbia University. She's worked for the UN researching maternal health. Check out her bio in the notes. Fundamentally, Ihotu is a healer. We had the privilege of having her speak 2 Sundays ago as part of Fabric's powerful reimagining conversations with Twin Cities visionaries. She helped us begin reimagining healing all of us, our whole selves beyond our bodies, and all of us, every human, who's just trying to get enough sleep at the end of the day. There was and is so much more to talk about, of course. And we're thrilled that Ihotu agreed to join us for a special bonus podcast along with her friend, doula colleague, and Fabric community member, Erin Tripolino. I'm Melissa Locke. Welcome to this Fabric Scraps podcast. Here's Ihotu and Erin.
I was a founding member of the Minnesota Healing Justice Network, which provided frontline support to protesters and residents and healers through, we started in 2006. Doing rest and retreat for healers, but we were also very involved in the protests after the murder of Mr. George Floyd. But out of that has grown the Oshun Center for Intercultural Healing, which is a learning center where we offer classes and offer support to healers in what we're all trying to figure out as kind of ancestral healing and cultural healing through our different ancestries. So it's an interracial group of healers and kind of this translation work between different types of indigenous medicines and also Western medicine.
I was at a doula meeting, and I think that was the first time I saw you at Everyday Miracles, maybe. But yeah, definitely through our connections in the birth world and through birth work. And then Ihotu drew me in as kind of a behind the scenes support person for the Minnesota Healing Justice Network. And definitely our relationship has grown from that point as well.
Erin and Ihotu shared a story about a ceremony they were part of creating together. It was for a new mother who reached out to their network. Ceremony. I don't know what you think of when you hear that word. But in my circles, and for me in many ways, ceremony has gotten a bad rap. It seems like something that's super formal, serious. It requires special expert leaders. And many civic and religious ceremonies seem to have become rote, empty of any real meaning. More like going through motions or putting on a show than helping foster real healing or connection of any kind. And then there's this grass is always greener effect. Ihotu talks about how ceremonies of non-Western dominant cultures and religions often get exotified, is the word she uses. And I think also snatched up by others who sanitize them and package them up for sale. Because there's something about ceremony we need as humans. Clearly, ceremony in itself isn't the problem. It's our lack of imagination about it. This story from Ihotu and Erin can help us reclaim and rediscover tradition and ceremony as something that's part of and available and authentic to all of us.
I'll tell kind of my pieces, and Erin has pieces as well. And there was a third healer, also part of Oshun Center, who Anna, who was with us as well. So in the birth world, and by that I mean birth workers, midwives, doulas, as well as birthing people and families, there's a lot of desire to reclaim traditions. And so midwifery is a, you know, very, has a very long traditional history for generations. That's how we've birthed babies. And so through the reclaiming of midwifery in the United States over the past 20, 30 years, there's also been a reclaiming of things around birth. So the way that traditional cultures have cared for a birthing person or a mother after giving birth with soups and warming herbs and wrapping and body work and baths and steams. A lot of that has kind of trickled up through the birth community. And so I've gotten questions about these things. And over the years, you know, I've never felt quite right about teaching something that's not my tradition, but I also have some disconnect with my tradition. So on my mom's side, we're white American, Polish, Irish. My dad's side, we're Nigerian, indigenous. Actually, we're from the Idoma tribe in the Ichama village in Nigeria. Also speaking to ancestors, I'd love to just give thanks to the ancestors of this land that we're on right now, that also are in the mix with all of this, right? And so, you know, I get a call from a friend who had gotten a call from someone asking if she knew anyone who could do something called a closing of the bones ceremony. Closing of the bones is a Mexican ceremony tradition that's done after someone gives birth. It is in the direction of bone setters or hueseros or hueseras, it's called in Spanish, who would do some body work at the sacrum and around the pelvis and the hips to basically close in the way, you know, returning kind of alignment to the pelvis after it might have been splayed open in birth. And I have trained with a Mexican traditional birth worker and womb worker, Panketzani, who taught some pieces of this, but it's not something that I usually practice. So when she came to me asking about, you know, she feels like there's something's off with her body. And she felt like she needed to reach out to healers. And that tradition just seemed like it's like that was what she needed, but it wasn't her tradition. She's white. And so when she contacted me, I said, you know, I really don't feel comfortable doing that tradition. I have very little training in it, and it's an advanced technique. But what if we were to come up with something in your tradition? And so I was pulling on my side of my family that's European. And then I reached out to a few people at Ocean Center and was like, hey, would you be interested in helping me try to figure out what this even means, what it would look like to create ceremony for her?
Yeah. And so one of Bree's, did we already introduce her? Her name is Bree, and she did give us permission to use her name while we share her story. One of kind of her cultural heritage that she was able to identify with most strongly is German. And that's also the case for me. And so that's kind of what pulled me into this, was like, we have this like kind of distant ancestral tie somehow. And so maybe I can help with this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. I don't like do ceremonies for people. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But it was that prompting of Ihotu to have Bree really think about, who are you? Where do you come from? What are your traditions? That really helped me start asking those questions of myself. And then also, how can I help prepare something meaningful, for Bree that we could kind of draw on some wisdom and healing from Europe. I was like, is there any, like what's there? And so that started, me down a path of quite a bit of research with my own family members and with some other birth workers who, are German, and a lot of books from the library to try to start getting some understanding of, is there anything good from Europe? Is there anything healing? Is there anything that we can be proud of and that we can learn from? And it was a good process. It's just beginning for me, really.
Was there one thing that stood out in your research?
It was really difficult to find very much information on traditional birthing practices. Even with all of that digging, I'm sure if I was able to, you know, go to Germany and was fluent enough to read well in German that I could find out some more. But it was really interesting to get a better understanding of the systematic erasure of women and lay healers in Europe and especially in Germany, and to learn that there are still really strict kind of rules around who can practice any sort of medicine in Germany still to this day. And so I kind of to learn about the history of that erasure, both in Europe and then also kind of the history of how medicine became what it is now in the States. I don't know, that kind of gives me a little more grace for where we are now. Not that like one person just like dropped the ball and didn't pass on this wisdom to me, but that we're working within a whole system that there's been a lot of stuff going on for a long time. So that was an important learning. But maybe for the ceremony itself, with all of that digging, it really did help me feel settled with trusting Bree and what was feeling important to her, and kind of some aspects that she was able to draw upon, just things like letting us know her family were farmers and apples were important to their family, and honey and the spice anise, star anise. Like, how could we bring in some of these things to her ceremony?
And I think that's really true for me as well. You know, I've leaned really heavily on identifying as a Black person or a mixed person, and so kind of pushing away my whiteness. And so it was really an experience for me to see what exists in my, on that side of my family, which was still some herbs, still some spiritual healing. My grandmother, who's Polish, does a lot of healing through prayer. But in terms of body work, I feel like so much has been lost.
Okay.
And specific traditions around birth, so much has been lost. And I know from my training, because I trained a lot with Mexican and South and Central American healers, kind of looking for pieces of my own lineage in their work, because those are the only teachers I could find. And what I've really learned is it's also in you. And it's important to have teachers, and it's important to do the research and to understand the erasure as much as the reclaiming, but also to trust that a lot of original, you know, healers were taught through dreams, through intuition, through spirit, through listening. And so we really encourage Bree that she doesn't have to have the whole picture, that she still carries that DNA. And so we would ask her, you know, we had this whole phone conversation with the three of us in the van down by the river. we had a session, the three of us as healers, bringing out all of our cultural healing so we could kind of talk to our ancestors and then bring pieces of her, you know, into that session too. And it wound up between the three of us, because Anna carries Hungarian and Slavic, you know, ancestry, and she comes from a family that really kept that alive in her. And so between the three of us, we had a whole list, and I can go through some of the things that we did with Bree. Ceremony is essentially a party with some extra symbolism and some extra meaning in it, right? And so American parties are like, oh, crazy, but this is like a more, you know, a little bit more sacred party. But it still is a party. So we do things that people do at parties. Like, we dressed up. We all wore white because that's something that has come out of being a part of Oshun Center. Oshun is the Black goddess of sweetness and abundance. And so we've kind of taken on, as we've done different work together as a collective, wearing white and the spiritual pieces of that. We made an altar, and Bree had made an altar that kind of we added to. So there were... what was on there? We had a few of us had put different family heirlooms on there. Bree obviously had, you know, objects from the birth, from her family. We also had natural elements on the altar. So some water, some fire, candles, some plant life, objects to mark the season that we were in. We had pine cones to represent the land and the ancestors of this land, Dakota and Lakota people. And then we had food, which is very party appropriate. Mm-hmm. Erin, do you want to talk about the food?
Yeah. So we, because Bri had identified apples as being important in her family and her family is farmers, we cut up some sweet local apples to share. And then I made an anise tea with cloves and cinnamon and anise and brewed that. That was one of the first things I did when I got to their home, was just start making that. So it kind of filled the home with that aroma. And
wonderful.
Yeah. So we started with apples and then the tea and honey to put in the tea. And that was something that I kind of reflected on with my contributions, feeling like, I don't know what, how do you do this? How do you do ceremony? What is ceremony? I found myself really gravitating towards those very tangible aspects that I could contribute. Like, oh, I can cut apples and I can figure out how to make a tea that's meaningful and that tastes good. And I could help prepare the bath. Like, I found myself really doing those very tangible things. And they were, it felt like a good contribution. It was important. Part of it.
It just smelled good. Everyone like looked beautiful and the place looked beautiful. It was really nice. Traditional culture is often around the circle, and I spoke about the circle quite a bit on Sunday. There's an opening circle and there's a closing circle. And I've really gotten into the practice, even when I'm on meetings, like I kind of want to hear from everyone. Minnesota Healing Justice Network, we would do that. Go around the circle, everyone share one word before we get into anything else. And then we always close out the circle together too. Sometimes that's the part we forget about. So we did an opening circle. So Bri was there, her partner was there, and her baby, and her mom was also there. So I think having people that she cares about and who are part of her journey, she chose those people to be there. That's what she wanted. And then really, I didn't have much agenda other than let's just go around the circle and share. And it was amazing what poured out. it was like the prep work we had done, you know, her mom said beautiful things. It was whatever needed to be said to open it. And people, I mean, no one had a plan. It just, and we all said something different.
The power of circles. Let's land on that for a second. Ihotu's work aligns so much with Fabric's effort to reclaim the circle, as she calls it. This deep wovenness that we're all a part of together, this fabric. Ihotu so helpfully contrasts the circle with the ladder that drives so much of how our culture puts itself together and how we think. What can help me go up the ladder of success, health, wealth, even virtue, or at least not be at the bottom? If I'm higher up than someone, I must be okay. Maybe I can even teach those people down there a thing or two. They should do it like I do, right? Does this sound familiar in your social networks, maybe your family or your workplace, your neighborhood, or around the table at a holiday gathering? Ouch. But you also might be familiar with that feeling that they talked about, that circle where you can hear how everyone showed up with something different and valuable, freely giving and receiving. I love it. Ihotu described next a meditation that she led to help this mother remember the lineage that she was part of. And I loved when she shared Bri's words that were sent to them later. And by the way, huge thanks to Bri for generously allowing her story to be shared here.
I would love to share a couple words from Bri about that. She says, I find it interesting in life when you must go backward in order to go forward. The guided meditation where we nested in our mothers and then nested our mother and her mother and imagine their surroundings was very powerful. I think in this moment, we opened a doorway to go back and listen to our ancestors, their wisdom, and honor them despite who they might have been. After all, we're only here because of them and the beauty of their births. And this connectedness continued for me throughout the night. Then she says, full stop. I must talk about the drum, which was unlike anything I had ever experienced before. Holding Farah, our daughter, a rain of vibration came over us. It washed us. I will treasure this experience I now have with my daughter, who has now felt in her bones the song of a drum. So there was some music and vibration. We did some body work on the floor. There were blue ribbons. And what was most profound to me was there was a synergy and maybe also spirits in the room that kind of created something that I had never seen before. That actually is, since that time, the way that we did like a collective hands energy massage over her, and this kind of evolved from one thing to the other. And then, you know, Anna was like, and put your hands. And I just have to say that doing a hand energy massage is something that my aunt told me a few days later is something that she had learned as a blessing way from like the 80s. So that has existed elsewhere, and I had never done anything like it, but it just appeared. It was very beautiful. Mm. Erin, what was that like for you?
Maybe even just to describe to everybody, Bree is lying on the floor and Anna had been drumming around her, and then Anna, you know, directed us to just kind of gently what did she say? Like sculpt like clay, using our hands like we were sculpting clay just kind of over Bree's body, and just, I don't know, it felt really natural. It was like a little bit, I mean, I've never done anything like this. But it was just kind of this beautiful moment of being human with other people and creating something, and listening to each other and listening to the drumming. And it seemed like very powerful and also like really simple.
Yeah. And it seemed, I was doing the drum at that point and I felt just like a wave. It felt like the wave, like this collective vibration movement. And she talks more about what that was like for her. And I find it really interesting that when other traditions I've studied, it's been a lot more about body work, and I'm a trained body worker for the last many years. But I do think that energy work is something that's still very present, European descended people. This energy, this hands-on, this prayer is still super present. And I just wonder if that's, I mean, it feels right to have done that with her rather than to do like a more strong closing of the bones.
Mm-hmm. Then we kind of had a closing circle with some songs and ended up, you know, this was also not planned, but it just kind of came out that it was right to sing kind of lullaby sort of songs. And then prior to having her baby, Bree's friends had all brought ingredients to make an herbal bath for her to take postpartum, and kind of like gave a blessing with each ingredient that they put into the bath. And so then we prepared a bath for her with traditional German chamomile. That was one tip that I learned about supporting a postpartum German mother. And we prepared that bath, and then that's when we kind of left, as she then spent her evening winding down on her own and enjoying her bath.
Yeah. And this last part that she had sent us in her reflections, because we had been singing all these lullabies. One of the lullabies that kept coming for me was the song I grew up with, was I Love You, A Bushel and a Peck, which I felt very silly singing. It's like very childhood song that I feel like, you know, you grow up and you kind of cut those lullabies out of your life a little bit. But then she said, she said last night, the night before she wrote this reflection, which was after the ceremony, right? She said her dad was holding Farah in the exact spot that she was lying for the body work part. And you'll never guess what song he started to sing. I love you, a bushel and a peck. Just that came out of him. She said she looked at him with wide eyes. This was not a song she grew up hearing. But she says, I think somebody was reminding him that he did.
So there was intention, but then it was also just really, we were free to do what it felt like was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there, we set it up so that we could be free once we arrived. We had all these potential ideas in our head and we're okay with dropping any of them because we wanted to be guided by the moment, by listening, being present, and knowing that it wasn't ultimately us as healers or even Bree. I mean, like this, there were so many people we wanted and, you know, spiritual souls that we wanted to have a chance to kind of drive the car in that moment. And so we just set, we essentially, I mean, if you think of tradition and ceremony and ritual being often around a table and having food and, you know, opening and closing and things like this. I was just say cleansing too. Anna went around and like did some cleansing at all the doorways before we began. So think about how you might wash your hands before you come to the table. So if you think of the table as this center point, you know, you set it up beautifully and then you just kind of let the party run itself.
So they created together this new thing from old things, this new ceremony that was healing. It's so three-stranded. We talk about the three strands that we want to weave together as fabric of ourselves and others, and this bigger connecting mystery that we're all part of. You could hear that in there. It was Bree with her people, her traditions, and this bigger connecting mystery that they all felt before, during, and after the party. There were no rules. There was just the question, what would be healing?
You know, you think about fabric and all the threads are made more beautiful by being together. And I do think of humans as, you know, social beings, and I almost feel like we're puzzle pieces that we're beautiful in ourselves, but we're in a society that has told us that we're more beautiful alone than we are beautiful together sometimes. And so what used to be sacred parties have become just parties that have focused on non-sacred things. So the way that my Auntie Kat, who's been an herbalist, you know, and at home birthed from the 80s, she has been teaching me more about you know, getting ready for giving birth, or even just everyday ceremony, which could be the holidays, which could be your birthday, which could be Sunday because you want to reclaim the Sabbath and take a day of rest, you know, or your menstrual period or the full moon, right? Any of these like recurring events. Take the example of, preparing for a baby or like a big life change. Nowadays, baby showers tend to be about money and material things, right? You're giving people funds, you're buying things for them, maybe you're celebrating the gender of the baby, you know, there's a whole range of things. But how much of it, the mainstream form of it, is about just showering love and strength and confidence to this person who's about to do a really big, scary thing, and remind them of all the people who are cheering them on and carrying them on. You know, that's not as transferable as like the Amazon gift, what is it called? The registries? Yeah. like the financial stuff is important. And my aunt would say, if that person didn't have enough money, we would also pool money. But that wasn't the point. That was the secondary, you know, bonus. If that was needed, the focus was emotionally preparing someone for this. And I don't know that we pay as much attention to that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to have a moment when we actually get to emotionally like plug into each other not just on a Zoom call where we get to see each other's faces. Like, we're really opening our hearts. We're touching and being attentive to bodies. We're using the smells and the senses, and we're reminding us of our big world connection. I think that's soul satisfying.
Soul satisfying. I don't know about you, but for me, especially at this time of year, that sounds really good and really important. I want these holiday festivities coming up not to be only the food and the fun and the busyness, but for all of that to somehow become soul satisfying. And what about those parts of us and those of us who come into this time of year with heartache, with heaviness, or maybe alone? How can this time of year be soul satisfying? How can we find some healing within all of it? Here's Erin.
As we've been talking about these opportunities around holidays, it seems like a really natural place to add a little bit of ceremony. And there are, Wally Hotu was mentioning that earlier with the table, it kind of as our centerpiece. Maybe you are cleansing beforehand by washing your hands before you come to the table. There's food that you're sharing, like simple things, like I've been lighting candles for our meals lately, and it just brings this different, it brings a different energy to that space that we're sharing together. For Thanksgiving itself, our family, we're talking about just doing a little bit more of an extended land acknowledgement and maybe some learning more about the land that we're on and whose land this was before we were here occupying it. What else did we talk about? Oh, Ihotu. Well, we were talking together about what sort of food we could prepare and is there something that we could learn from the indigenous people here about the food, and then we could honor that at our meal as well. And then also not throwing everything away, just because there are negative connotations, but we do really enjoy taking time at our Thanksgiving meal to express gratitude. And we've done that in various ways over the years. I was just looking through my box of holiday like decorations though. And my mom had gifted us a journal last year of just gratitude journal. And I'm going to bring that out again and have everybody write something that they were grateful for. It was beautiful reading through what each person in our family wrote last year, that they were grateful for. So there are those elements that I definitely want to bring into our holiday this year.
And I can speak as a single person who might go and visit, some family for that day, but I might also spend a good part of the day myself, and just because that's my life. And I also want to, you know, remind anyone listening that, you know, a year ago we did this, a lot of us, alone. And so I think those of us who've, you know, we're still kicking through this pandemic, the pandemic has taught us a lot about how to find ways to be peace, even when we're alone, even when we don't have family, even when we've lost people, even when there's a lot of grief around this time of year in particular, and a lot of darkness and coldness, and can be a really time of a lot of apprehension and not wanting to go into tradition and ceremony and celebration. And I can relate to some of that. So, you know, I'm thinking of what I might do to bring in what I want to bring in, and also to protect myself from what is not welcome in my space during this time of year. And so that's when I talk about cleansing, like the analogy being washing your hands before dinner, but this idea of spiritually cleansing, you know, when you come home from a really hard day, or you have been on the screens for too long and you feel that like there's residue on you, right? You're carrying something. You might take a shower and that might make you feel better. And if you want to try some of these ancestral traditions, you might smudge yourself or you might use Florida water that is from the Black Southern U.S. traditions. You might make something of your own that smells uplifting, maybe oranges, maybe basil. There are like certain smells that seem to have an emotional impact on us, right? So it's utilizing all of that to allow yourself to let go of what's heavy and what you don't want to keep into the space with you. And then also maybe bringing in roses. Maybe for Thanksgiving, I'll put roses. I'll buy myself roses and cleanse and smudge and bring up my plant friends. You know, if I don't have anyone who's joining me, any human person to join me, but my plant people, and maybe I'll bring up pictures of people who I love. And dress up and have my own party that way. Talk to myself for my circle and listen to what, if anyone has anything to say to me in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe play my favorite music and dance.
So however the coming holidays are looking for you, I hope you're leaving this conversation reminded that you're not climbing a ladder all on your own. You're part of a circle. You're part of this fabric that includes you, your whole self, and others, and this big divine love that we're all part of. And I hope you've got some new ideas, some new imagination on how ceremony can authentically be part of your toolkit, really. How it can help you connect with that circle, with that fabric, with others and yourself, and God, or however you talk about that divine thread in our lives. How can ceremony help you remember and connect with that in ways that you can really feel in your bones, that give you strength, joy? That's what I wish for me and you and all of us. So grateful to Ihotu and Aaron. Before we go, we've got to share what's happening at the Oshun Center. You or someone you know might want to check this out.
I would just say I'm very excited to, especially for this holiday season, be launching kind of a rolling open enrollment for our courses. So each course is, you know, priced for like everyday people who are just trying to learn thing. Starting December 5th, we'll have 4 courses. Some on birth, some on body work, and some on kind of this cultural collective medicine. So one, for example, is called the Earth Medicines, which is about rest and about ancestral listening. So it's really for anyone who's kind of getting like inklings, like, I want to explore this, but I don't know where to begin. It's kind of a nice beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, especially if you take it, you know, December or January, during these times when there's already a natural slowness to the world and to our bodies, when you can really start to integrate some rest practices. So we might talk about reclaiming things like the Sabbath, reclaiming things like mindful menstruation if you menstruate, or just taking time during the new moon, to slow down and rest, taking a sabbatical for everyday people, right?
Nice.
Like, yeah. How to work rest, naps, all these things into our life, and just slowness in general into our lives, so that we start to open up the doorway where we can listen to what else is going on.
What else is going on? Let's start listening a little more deeply for that stuff that's truly soul satisfying in our lives. These new offerings Ihotu has going on at the Oshun Center, they really do offer some user-friendly entry points, I think, into this lifelong work of individual healing, all the way through up to solidarity work and intergenerational, really legacy-leaving healing work. So check that out. I will definitely be sharing a lot of thankfulness for Ihotu and Aaron and all of you, Fabric, for the shared healing that we get to be part of together.